There's no light. Can you hear me? Okay. Good morning, everyone. It is an honor to come here this morning to worship God with you. I would like to thank you all for coming out here today to worship God. And for those of you who do not know me, my name is Chad Chaffins. It has been a while since I've gotten up here, and I hope that today's lesson will be a source of encouragement for you. I realize that 2021 is days away. Many things have gone on in 2020. It has been a year unlike any other in my lifetime. You may have seen memes or phrases that saying, this was the worst year ever. It seemed as if every month brought more uncontrollable challenges. However, when I stopped to think about the events of the year and the challenges, one thing remained constant: God's endless love for us. Now, listening to different media outlets, you may have felt discouraged, worn down, exhausted, or worried. But I realized these sources of information did not lead me to God, nor professed his love for us. If anything, their stories may have made you question or forget his love for you. Thinking of all the events that have transpired over the past year, you may have questioned, where is the love? One of my favorite songs from the Beatles comes to mind. It simply repeats, all you need is love. Such a catchy phrase, full of comfort, but when thought about and connected to God, it gives the world a powerful message. The message implies that things we do in life should be done with love. This positive, upbeat song was a hit for the Beatles. However, this message was already established since the beginning of time with God. As I listen to this song now, I question, whom does God say we should love, and what does that look like as a Christian? Today I would like to look at three areas. What is love? Who does the Bible say we should love? And finally, what does love look like? So, what is love? According to Google, the word love is defined as a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. Affection is defined as gentle feeling of fondness or liking. Although this is one definition, love should be viewed more than just a feeling. It is a choice. Throughout the Bible, love is mentioned many times and carries different meanings. Some of the words for love in the Bible, agape, a charity, selfless, philia, friendship, love with without romantic detraction, storge, a family love, a natural affection, and eros, a romantic love. It is important for us to know and understand the context of how the word love is used in Scripture. If we only have a Google understanding of the word, we cannot accurately read and apply God's message of love in our lives. As I was studying and looking at Scripture, I noticed a pattern. Have you ever noticed that the things of importance are repeated in Scripture? These are just some of the things that I noticed. My numbers could be off because it depends on the version I looked at, but if anything, there are more examples than less. These are some of the passages that stood out to me. Love the Lord thy God at least 8 times. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Love thy neighbor at least 9 times. Matthew 22, verse 39. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another at least 13 times. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. God's love endures forever. Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. In the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love is repeated over 40 times. Something repeated this many times must be significant to our lives. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul defines love here. Please turn with me now to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Paul painted a vivid picture of what love looks like and what our actions and attitudes should be like towards others. So when you think of the song, Love is All You Need, love is a little more complex. There is a lot of meaning to this small four-letter word. So who does the Bible say we should love? In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 38, Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Our first love should be for God. From the beginning of time, we see that God's desire for us is to love and serve him. We read in Genesis that God simply wanted Adam and Eve to obey him. Even though they both made a mistake and fell short, God still continued to take care of them. Later on, in Exodus, we see Moses was given the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai from God. God declared the Israelites his own people and that they must listen and obey his commandments. If you will now, turn to Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The first four commandments, God commands love and service to him. God gave the Ten Commandments as a standard for his people to live by. Commandments 5 through 10, God commanded on ways to treat others. In verse 6, God says to show love and kindness to those that love God. In verse 12, we are to honor our father and mother. In verse 13, we are not to murder. Verse 14, not to commit adultery. Verse 15, we are not to steal. Verse 16, we are not to bear false witness against our neighbor. And verse 17, we should not covet. God very clearly made it his expectations known to his chosen people of Israel. Throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, we see God reminding his people of his expectations. Essentially, he's saying, all you need is love. Love me and put me first. What does love for God look like? Turn your Bibles again to Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. We are to love the Lord with our entire being. There are many different examples of different people in the Bible showing their love and devotion to God. I would like to start with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 3, we read about three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, together with Daniel, were godly men and had been appointed to authority positions in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he made a gold image, asking everyone to worship it. Everyone in the kingdom had to worship it, this image, and if someone disobeyed it, he would be burned in the den of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced a challenge. Would they follow the king's command, or would they obey God to not bow to this idol? They decided not to, and the king got word of this, and the king was filled with rage. As said in verse 15 of Daniel 3, "But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Their response was in verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." These three men knew the consequences of not bowing and would rather face the fiery furnace than denounce the true and only God. They upheld the commandments given by the Lord, even in the face of death. What an incredible act of love towards God. In the book of Joshua, Joshua 1, verses 6 through 11, we see God speaking to Joshua about crossing over to conquer Canaan. Joshua is told to be courageous. Joshua takes God's instructions, and he leads the Israelites to victory. Because of Joshua's love and devotion to God, he was chosen to lead God's people into the promised land. In verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Another example we see is Mary in Luke 1, verse 38. An angel of the Lord came to Mary and told her that she had found favor from the Lord and that she would bear a child, the Messiah. She said, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary had accepted what was said, and we see later on in verses 46 through 48 that she glorifies the Lord for the news that she had received. In verse 46, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Excuse me. Saul is another example that we look at. Saul was a Jew. He knew the commandments of the Lord and yet was still responsible for the deaths of many Christians. Saul is someone that truly believed what he was doing was in the service to God. While he was near Damascus on the road, we see that the Lord was blinding him. And Saul did what the Lord had asked him after he blinded him. We see later in the chapter that Saul obeys God, and he goes to Ananias. He gets baptized and starts preaching his word. Acts 9, verses 3 through 8. "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who were journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." Saul learned the message from God. He completely turned from the wrong he was doing and began leading others to Christ. His service and love to God, although tried and tested, continued, and he helped many obey the gospel. In the New Testament, we see Jesus had loved God so much. He was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He showed his love and devotion to God by not giving into temptation to bow down to Satan. Instead, Jesus said in Luke 4, verse 8, "It is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Even at temptation, when Jesus was at his weakest, he still chose God over anything else. The second part of the greatest commandment is love thy neighbor as yourself. So let's look at loving our neighbor. Who are our neighbors? Is it someone that lives close to you? Is it a stranger? According to God, a neighbor is everyone you meet. Long ago in Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 8, we see that God defined for his people how to act towards a neighbor. In verse 9, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another, you shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Early on, God provided a very clear message to his people: love your neighbor as yourself. God intended for his people to look out for each other, care for one another, not cause others to sin or sin against others. In Matthew 22, we see the Sadducees and the Pharisees trying to entrap Jesus with a trick question. Matthew 22, verse 34. "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.'" Jesus tells us first and foremost, we are to love God with our soul and mind. Since the beginning of time, God has called on us to put him first, love him first. Second, we are to love our neighbor. So why is it loving everyone we meet so important? So as our purpose while we're on earth is to serve him first, serve God. In service to him, we are to show love to others. If we fail to do this for others, how will we teach others by our example? How will we lead others to him? Turn with me now to Matthew 5, verse 43. Matthew 5, verse 43. Jesus is here speaking of love for enemies here. But he starts with verse 43. "Have you heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy'? But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Jesus calls us to love our enemy. Even our enemy is considered our neighbor. This, too, can be a hard concept to understand. A neighbor is not defined as someone who looks like you, thinks like you, lives by you, or even likes you. In verse 46, If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? We are called to show love to everyone. It is simple, yet somehow it is difficult for humans, for Christians, to demonstrate this. We see an example now of neighborly agape love in Luke 10, verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. After being asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus asked him, "What is written in the law?" The man responded, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So even thousands of years ago, people knew God's message of love. Pressing further, the man asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered him using a parable in verse 30. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. I want you to stop here for a moment and think about the role of a priest and his service to God. He knew the scripture, love thy neighbor, but in Jesus' example, he showed no love. So too, verse 32, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. The significance of this is Jews openly hated the Samaritans. Even though Samaritans were of Jewish descent, they were half Gentile. The Samaritans were not accepted by Jews because of their beliefs and because they intermarried with the Syrians. Jesus concludes by asking a question. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Verse 37, Jesus says, go and do likewise. The Samaritan cared for this stranger, his neighbor. Now this was a parable, but do you see this evident in your life? Which of the characters are you like? Are you the one beaten down, waiting for someone to reach out and pull you up and show you love? Or maybe the Samaritan, fervently praying for others, calling others, visiting others, showing care, patience, and love to others. Romans 15, verse 2. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. These neighbors, the Jews and the Samaritans, had difficulty getting along. They did not work to build each other up. Sometimes it's the people that are closest to us the most difficult to love. We may have differences with others considering race, religion, temptations, struggles, ideas, opinions. Jesus says none of these things matter. Jesus himself was beaten, mocked, betrayed. Where was the love for him on earth? His message was not to love conditionally to you first. I'm sorry. His message was not love conditionally or when it is shown to you first. His message is, you mocked me, beat me, and because of my love for you, I was nailed to the cross and I died for you. So when you think, love thy neighbor, remember, Jesus is our neighbor. Would you do this to him? Would you treat him this way? Maybe we consider ourselves as a good neighbor. Maybe not. If you haven't been the best neighbor to others in the past, I encourage you, think on the guidelines God commanded from the beginning. Think of why his commandments matter, how our thoughts and actions impact others. When we can act with these in mind, love will show to others, leading them to Christ. The church, as some believe, to be a building or a structure, however, it is made up of members, the body of Christ, neighbors, if you will. In our service to God, we have to view each other within the church as a neighbor as well. In Colossians 2, verses 1 through 2, Paul emphasized how important it is to love the church. Paul focused on the church and the importance of loving God and knowing his son, Jesus. He wanted each church to be mature in faith and service to God. Colossians 2, verses 1 through 2. Colossians 2, 1 through 2. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Paul praised the church of Laodicea because of their love for other Christians. Paul wanted them to love and be united. He wanted them to believe the truth about Christ and to learn of his love for us. He mentions being united. When we are being united in love, it gives us a full understanding of God's mystery. Let's flip back to 1 Corinthians 13 to remind us of the definition of love again. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I find it interesting that the church continued to grow during this time. It wasn't perfect, but it continued to grow. It makes me wonder if keeping the greatest commandment on their heart and demonstrating love, defined by as 1 Corinthians 13, was the reason for this growth. Jesus loves the church very deeply. Let's take a look at Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 32. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 32. Let us focus on what it says about Christ, his relationship with the church, and what he has done for us. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. We usually look at these verses for scriptures for how husbands are to be towards their wives. The relationship between a husband and a wife and the expectations are clearly defined in the Word. I'm not going to get into that this morning, but I want you to make the point that Jesus loves the church. He loves his neighbors very much, so much that even though they weren't perfect, even though they were different from him in many ways, he died so that we might live eternally with his Father. So, how do you view the church today? Do you love what he loves? He loves us so much that he died for us. We are called to be like Jesus. Let us love what he loves. Let us be committed to the church, to the work of the Lord. Jesus never gave up on the church. He expects us to be united, as verse 30 pointed out. We are all members. When we gather as a church to worship, seek, and serve him, we are showing love for our God and our neighbor. We're drawing near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now that we have a better understanding of the design of God's love, let's look at how we show love to God and our neighbor. So how do we show love? We show love as Ephesians 4, verse 32 tells us. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We need to treat our neighbors and our church kindly. We need to be there as we need to be as just as forgiving to them as God is forgiving to all of us. We need to share with others. Hebrews 13, verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We should do good for others. We should share our love, share God's word, and help those out. Be generous. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. To show love, we should lend a hand at any time for those who need it most. Looking out for others. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4. Philippians 2, verse 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. We show our love by our words and our actions. When we look out for others, they will see God's love. They will be more in tune to hearing us and listen to God's word and drawing closer to him. encouraging one another. Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 25. And let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning our own meeting together, as is the habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to encourage one another in love, loving one another. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 8. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love is the most important part of God because it is the central character quality of God. He is love. So we ought to love God. If we do not love others like God loves us, how can we say we truly love God if we are not following his example? 1 John 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We need to lay down our lives for each other. We need to be there in good times and bad times. Jesus died for us so that we can all reach eternal salvation together. 1 John 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Example after example, God shows us what love is. It's a self-sacrifice. It's a service and commitment to our friends, our family, our spouses, church, and our neighbors. We see this in the Bible with many examples of how and why we love each other and how Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice because of his love for us. Remember this, not one of us is perfect. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So as we enter the new year, remember to keep the greatest commandment close to your heart. Remember to put God first, showing him love. I want you to challenge yourselves this week. Do something out of love for others. Do not do it for your own interest or gain, but for the love of God. How do we show our love? If you love him, you will seek him. We seek him by reading scripture, attending worship, through our prayers and service to others. Is your love for God strong? And do we understand what God's love truly is? Remember, love is patient, it's kind, it protects, it perseveres. We should follow the pattern like Jesus did when he died for us. We should love and show empathy for others. How else will we lead them to salvation if we cannot show love towards them? Let us think on these things now. If you need to obey the gospel, or perhaps turn away from sin to serve him, please come forward now as we stand and sing.